I'm talking about the situation, man.
What situation? I'm trying to update my dating profile.
Haven't you heard? Flash is dying.
Oh, well, good. I'm a way better one-o than that guy anyways.
No, I'm talking about Flash. Like, what we breathe. The thing what creates us all.
Strong bad. If I didn't know any better, I'd say you were getting a little religioso on me.
Ah! See? That's a chunk of Flash authoring interface right there. It's falling apart. We gotta head for the hills.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I'm Charlie Bennett in the studio with Emmy Decker and Fred Rasko. I am on the board, and I am terrified. Each week on this show, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called Homestar Runner, Gone in a Flash.
Homestar Runner is a very popular, very funny website with cartoons starring a host of animated characters like Homestar, Strong Bad, The Cheat. It's been going for years, but there might be a slight snag on the horizon.
Indeed. All of these cartoons are made using Adobe Flash, which, spoiler alert, is not long for this world.
We're going to find out what this means with today's guests, the creators of Homestar Runner, Mike and Matt Chapman. They are the brothers Chaps.
If you, our listeners, want to join the conversation, the hashtag for this show is LITS366 for Lost in the Stacks, episode 366. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, or favorite Homestar tune with that hashtag.
And our songs today are all about artistic tools, dying formats, and loss. After years of ominous threats and warnings, Adobe has finally made good on its word and pulled the plug on the tool used to create the Homestar universe. What does that mean for future tunes? And maybe more importantly, what's next for the tunes already created on a deprecated software? Time's up for Flash. The clock is striking midnight. So let's start the show with Because It's Midnight by Strong Bad's favorite band, Limousine, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Heart of a lion, wing of a bat. Good way to start off the show. This is Lost in the Stacks, and our guests today are the Brothers Chaps. That's Mike Chapman and Matt Chapman, creators of the online cartoon universe of Homestar Runner. Mike and Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So we got a lot to talk about. But before we get started, I know that a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with Homestar Runner. But we might have some that aren't. So when you meet someone that doesn't know what Homestar Runner is, how do you describe that?
That's everyone I meet. And I just say we make weird cartoons on the internet featuring a host of dumb animal characters. And it won't be very accessible to you at first, but maybe if you give it a chance, you'll find yourself coming back for more. Because the times when I've tried to describe it in like elevator pitch sort of style, right, either totally misrepresents it or everyone has left the elevator and the building and I'm still talking and it still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that kind of speaks to the independent nature of it too, right? Because you didn't have to sell this to anybody
right
at first.
Yeah, I mean, I have always had a hard time figuring out what one cartoon for somebody to start as sort of a starter thing. Like, here, you'll get it if you watch this one. It's like, now watch maybe 10 or 15 of them, and if you haven't gotten something, then it's not for you.
I think that's why I punted and asked you to describe it, because I was trying to figure out some way to introduce Homestar and couldn't.
Someone asked us, and we kind of, it took us this long to come up with this, what we think is a fairly accurate description. We were like, it's family road trip inside joke humor. Is like the best way that they were like, they kind of asked like, hey, it seems like it's accessible across a lot of different lines and a lot of different people. And I was like, I don't know, that feeling of like that joke that you made in the van driving to somewhere on a long road trip and now it's the funniest thing and your family quotes it for, you know, the rest of your family's lives. And I was like, I think we tapped into a tiny like little bit of that.
Well, I guess that's probably an experience you have. A lot of people come up to you and quote lines from cartoons.
Yeah, that, which is amazing. When we love to hear when it's people that have, like, it's taken on a life of its own, where they were like, we actually kind of forgot it was this was a Homestar quote, and now this is what we all call, you know, this dish at the dinner table or this, like, room in the house. And then they'll be like, yeah, we forgot that, like, you know, 5 years later, there was like, oh, yeah, that's a Strongbad quote. And, like, to me, that's, like, great, like, because we have those, you know, from cartoons that we loved or whatever growing up. And it's like, yeah, when they just kind of completely meld with your lifestyle.
So, like Charlie was mentioning just a second ago, this was a DIY thing and still is. It's totally controlled by you guys, correct?
Yeah, it's basically just the two of us. I mean, it is just the two of us that have been making the cartoons and doing the music and the animation and everything for the website.
So,
for 17 years.
The website and all the cartoons and everything on the website are run on the program called Adobe Flash. All the animations are done, I should say, with Adobe Flash, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And was that, I guess I want to know if you chose that software because it meshed with that DIY aspect?
Well, yeah, at the time, I mean, in, whatever, late 90s, early 2000s, neither of us were animators by trade. And so it was, the main thing was that it was simple enough for two people that were film major and a photography major to be able to make cartoons.
Yeah, or to make content at all. I mean, that was the thing. Video compression was so, you know, horrendous back then, and dial-up was still in more than 50% of households. So it was like you weren't going to try and shoot a video and put it online.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Flash was a way to tell stories and tell funny jokes. And so it was just like, all right, well, let's come up with a cartoon for that, because that was kind of the medium was, you know, if you're doing Flash, it was animation. So yeah. It was more that, like, just delivering content. You know, we wanted to, like, tell some people some funny stuff, and video was not an option at the time, so...
Yeah, I kept file sizes around a meg or something, which even dial-up modem in the late 90s, early 2000s was doable, but video was not.
I've never used Flash, I have to confess. Is it coding? Is it point and click? What do you do?
Well, so it's an authoring... So the thing about Flash is that it's a two-pronged thing. I mean, it's an authoring tool, which is what we used to make it, but then it was also the player that was on every browser. So you have used the Flash player. That's how you watched any Homestar Runner cartoons.
Okay, busted, yes.
That's what's going away is the player. The Flash player is what's going away. The Flash, as an authoring tool, they changed the name of it. It's now called Animate. So that's sticking around. So we'll be able to make the cartoons the same way.
Oh, okay.
We just have to export them in a different file format as a, you know, whatever, QuickTime movie or whatever that we can put on YouTube or some other format.
Yeah, and the only coding is if you're doing any interactive stuff. So, I mean, the times when we'd hide little Easter eggs, that's a teeny bit of coding just to put little hotspots in the cartoons and stuff. But for the most part, it's similar to, like, a timeline, any timeline-based, you know, authoring tool. Like Final Cut or After Effects or something, so it's not too far from that.
Yeah, so we're seeing a stage with the characters, and if Homestar's leg needs to move, we just drag the corner of his leg and spin it up, and, you know, whatever. So
he does your bidding.
Yes, exactly. We're not coders, so it's not super
code intensive.
So the actual making of the animation is divorced a little bit from the actual playing it on a website.
Yeah, so we can export that cartoon in multiple formats, different ways, depending on how we're delivering it.
Yeah, we worked with Disney for the last couple of years. We did these shorts for Disney, and we authored them all in Flash the same way we would a Homestar cartoon, but they were all exported to broadcast quality. Like, so we're making these terrible web-quality cartoons that somehow Disney deemed okay enough to put on one of their channels. And we were like, okay, if you guys are sure, this is what it's going to look like.
I feel like that's a humble brag.
Yeah, you say terrible quality, but, I mean, is there... like an inherent limitation in the software for...
Well, it's funny because we use 12 frames a second, which is basically the default in 1999. So we still do all our animation at that. So it's just based on Flash's default in 1999 or whatever.
We just can't be bothered to click that right button, that pull down menu.
Yeah, go up to 24, 30.
Yeah,
or
there's 60 frames per second on some playback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quintuple hour frame rate.
Yeah, but then we have to animate all of those.
And a standard multiplex film is like 24 frames a second?
I think still,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, it's a film.
So why have you stuck with it all this time?
Don't want to learn something new?
Yeah, maybe. we got good at it because there were all those limitations for so long, you know, and it was like 12 frames per second was best for dial-up and, you know, and all this, like, there were all these reasons in the first, like, 3 years we were making these, and then we got really good at doing that and then could churn out content quickly.
It's also the way that we can make a cartoon in a week.
Yeah.
If we upped the frame rate and upped the, you know, started doing different processes, we wouldn't be able to sort of do it the way we've figured out this quick and dirty way to do something and have just...
Did the Flash player seem vulnerable any time in the beginning? Like, were you worried about how long will this be around?
No, not at all. I mean, initially it was like on every browser and it was like 99.9% saturated. Like, anyone who's got an internet connection has access to this. And then basically Steve Jobs started killing it in the mid-2000s.
Oh, man. And that's the perfect segue to our next segment, because there is trouble on the horizon. We are speaking to Mike and Matt Chapman, the Brothers Chaps, creators of Homestar Runner, and we'll be back to talk about the downside of Flash after a music set.
File this set under Z701.3 C65. Do, 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 do.
You just heard Hip Hop Dance by Coach Z. Before that was Give Life Back to the Fahuwa Gods by Daft Punk versus Strong Bad, as mixed by DJ Arike.
Well done.
And The System Is Down by Strong Bad. Songs about the tools we use to create art.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and our guests today are the creators of Homestar Runner, Mike and Matt Chapman. And before the last music set, we were talking a little bit about the pros and cons of using Flash as an animating tool. And one big con that we sort of alluded to but didn't quite get to is that using Flash, it's not officially dead yet, but it does have an execution date. And so this has been brewing for years, and there was even a Homestar Runner cartoon about it in 2015, which we played at the top of the show, a clip of that at the top of the show. And this past summer, the Adobe company put out the following statement, which was, "Today, most browser vendors are integrating capabilities once provided by plugins directly into browsers and deprecating plugins. Given this progress, and in collaboration with several of our technology partners, including Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Mozilla, Adobe is planning to end-of-life Flash. Specifically, we will stop updating and distributing the Flash player at the end of 2020 and encourage content creators to migrate any existing Flash content to these new open formats." Mike, Matt, you guys are the content creators they are talking about.
Yeah, we have an extra year. I thought it was 2019. 2020, we got all kinds of time.
Yeah, that's great. That's great news. All right, I should have read the statement in full.
Yeah.
I just read the first, like, two sentences and then ran off screaming.
So what's when you saw that, did you immediately leap into action, or are you still mulling what's going to happen next?
Well, the writing's been on the wall for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, since even before we took kind of a few years off from doing Homestar Runner content, and even once we came back and started doing new ones, we kind of already knew that it's like Flash is not long for this world as a player.
You took a hiatus in 2010.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And that's about the time that Steve Jobs issued his famous manifesto against basically just saying how terrible Adobe Flash was.
Right. Maybe he thought that there wouldn't be any more Homestar Runners. He's like, well, that was the only reason we had it.
Yeah,
we'll just move on.
So we kind of knew that was, you know, we've always had an eye on that. We had started putting, you know, trickling things out onto YouTube, the content. And then the decision was always like, we've always had these minimal interactive components to the cartoons, where there'd be hidden Easter eggs if you clicked on things, or at the end of a cartoon, there'd be a hidden scene if you clicked on something. And so that's obviously something we knew was going to have to go away. YouTube has some of that stuff, you know, you can do those little mouse overs or those notes that pop up, but they're way more intrusive. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen like a nice one-to-one version of it. So yeah, we already kind of started that conversation of like, okay, well, what does like a, you know, what do you, how do you archive these? Is it just sort of like the, because even a DVD can have interactive features. You know, all our DVDs included all the Easter eggs because you could do that on a separate video layer, which again, you just can't do all the same stuff.
How important does that interactive quality feel to the work?
At the time, I mean, it was a pretty big part of it. I mean, it's always been a part of it, and that was sort of a cool part of Flash was the interactivity. I mean, that's the way we did any of the menu stuff, and there was, like, in the early 2000s, that was cool. Like, everybody loved that. And so it does feel like there's part of the heart of Homestar Runner is that sort of aspect of it, but
I feel like you could find a new, like a version of that. The idea is that it's like rewarding the repeat viewer, the like, you know, the super fan that like, you know, knows all these tiny references. And there's probably ways to do that within, you know, within other constraints. And I feel like there is kind of a, it's sort of that thing like, if you were there, like we were before the show, we talked a little about like seeing Fugazi live and having these things happen. And it's like, well, if you were there during that time and you were on the web and you got to experience this Flash Player thing, then you could click on these hidden things and maybe that's going to go away. And so it kind of becomes this like badge of honor that like, I got to click on the stuff on Homestar Cartoons back in the early 2000s and I now you just have to watch it.
I want to explain to the listeners that maybe haven't clicked on the site. One, the interaction with Flash on the website, I'm going to use the Strong Bad emails as an example. When you go to the site and click on Strong Bad emails, it's not a list of files really that comes up. There's an animation. It's Strong Bad, you know, has a little email saying or phrase that changes every so often.
Right.
And the idea is that you actually have to scroll through Strong Bad screen, like you're not selecting from a menu or anything, or searching something like on YouTube, and it's part of that interactive experience. So, finding that in a different format seems like it would be a kind of a challenge.
There are some bad things about the experience you were just talking about, Strong Bad screen and having mm-hmm. to scroll down. I mean, it's
not user friendly.
200 something cartoons, and there's no search feature, and all the cartoons have some sort of random one word name.
Right.
So it's like you could have a really good memory of a cartoon and have a really hard time finding out which one it was.
Right. And so then, yeah, you just go to YouTube and find some kid that has ripped all of our Flash content and made it searchable with meta tags, and then
right.
it's like, well, I'm just going to watch this kid's YouTube channel instead of going to the website
anymore. There's also no pause or rewind feature when you're watching the cartoons, which is another thing that like there's going to be some improvements when we migrate this to other formats.
Well, that's something that Flash added very early on that we just didn't implement.
Too busy to
be lazy. And again, I mean, like Mike said, in the heyday, we were making a cartoon every week, so it was harder to like then pause. You know, like there just wasn't the time to like upgrade to the new whatever when it was just the two of us doing that stuff. We don't really have an excuse since there was a 4 year why we didn't do that during the 4 year gap.
Is there a little bit of this was a upgrade or a work change that you were going to have to do anyway?
Right.
If Flash Player was still around, in a perfect world, you would have moved on to another format or another platform already. They both took a deep breath.
The funny thing about Flash, like even using Flash, we used an ancient Flash 5, which I think came out in 99. We used Flash 5 until I think 2014.
Macromedia Flash.
Yeah, Macromedia Flash, not Adobe, because Adobe bought Macromedia. So we used Macromedia Flash 5 until probably 2014.
There's like a
13?
Time pit opening behind me right now that I'm going to fall into.
Loved Macromedia.
But yeah, so I mean, we kind of knew that at some point. I mean, even with we put all our stuff on DVDs, and that we were like, "That's the we've archived it forever now."
Yeah,
and then
DVDs
it's just like,
are like,
"Oh wait," within a year, Blu-ray was became the new standard. And
do you have colleagues, peers, or just people that you're connected to who do the same kind of work that you're doing, who are going through the same kind of thing? Maybe not dependent on Flash, but what you just said about DVDs and Blu-rays, like, yeah, of course, everything's constantly changing, and so you're being sort of dragged along.
Yeah, every 5 or 10 years, you have to re-archive everything in the new format.
Do you all get together and complain about it?
Yeah.
As a professional association?
Everybody else is sort of better at that. Like, we definitely intentionally once, I mean, at the time it would have been Friendster or MySpace, but it's sort of precursors to Facebook. Like, once any sort of inklings of social media started, we kind of were like, we were being very old men about it, and it's like, now let's just keep heads down and keep doing what we're doing. Like, Strong Bad doesn't need a Friendster page or a MySpace page. So we kind of knew, like, and so anyways, people that have kind of embraced those things, you know, they've just sort of grown with it. And then again, like with having your own YouTube channel or your own Vimeo or any of the other sort of video streaming options that you have, other people that do this kind of content, I feel like embrace that stuff sooner than Mike and I did, because we were trying to be punk rock about it. And we're like, no, let's do it the old way. Right. This is like recording on 4-track, analog cassette.
There is
sometimes we do
that
to our detriment.
Yeah, but there is something to that, to have that feeling and to have the thing that you know how creaky it is.
We complain about Flash all the time, and we use it every day, and there's still elements of it that are like, I'll complain to Matt about something that I've been complaining about for 15 years. But I still do it. It's fine.
We'll be back with more about the death of Flash with the Brothers Chaps on the left side of the hour.
Hello, good people. You are Lost in the Stacks with Ian MacKay here on WREK in Atlanta.
Today's show is called Gone in a Flash. Ever since Steve Jobs wrote in 2010 a manifesto explaining why Apple would never use Adobe Flash, the death knell for the animation software has been growing louder and louder as criticism grew stronger and stronger. This past summer, Adobe decided that due to security concerns, a likely story, the widespread adoption of HTML5, Flash would no longer be supported after the year 2020. Here are some other formats for creative content delivery that have died the death. VHS tapes, 2008. GeoCities, 2009. Many first websites were there. Polaroid film, oh, that hurts, 2012. Mainframe punch cards, the last company that made them closed in 2012.
What?
Betamax. Sony stopped producing it in 2015. Betamax players were discontinued in 2002. And then, of course, Vine. 2016. Who you finna to try? I bet it ain't me. Librarians have never saved everything, but there is more information to save now than at any previous point in history. Are we up to the challenge? Or will this all be gone in a flash? I'm sorry for that. File this set under T385.S62282.
A 1, 2, 3, 8.
Cool, cool tapes and a bag of four grapes by Marzipan. Before that, Flash by Queen. And we started off with Tropical Laser Beams by Homestar Runner with They Might Be Giants. Those are songs about dying formats and trying to save things that are slipping away.
We're back, and we're talking about the death of Adobe Flash with Mike Chapman and Matt Chapman, the creators of Homestar Runner, which is one of the most well-known Flash animation websites. So earlier we had been talking about how the demise of Flash will affect the future of Homestar Runner and the immediate future, but how can we think about this some more in terms of we're all librarians. We think about preservation and access. Have you given any thought to how you'd preserve it or how we'd move forward in the future without Flash?
Yeah, I mean, we're already sort of migrating things to the video content, rather, to YouTube, and we're exporting everything. What's good about Flash is it produced everything in vectors, so you can export it whatever, like,
size,
it's just math. Yeah. So yeah,
the librarian in me has to stop you right there. YouTube is not an archive.
Well, that is true.
What
good
are you
point.
Thinking?
Good point. So,
how are you keeping it for yourself?
So,
what
yeah.
is your sort of store?
So we've been exporting them at these super high quality. So that the idea is that we still have those source files. We're exporting them at as high a quality as we can. So for whatever it is, if it's Blu-ray, if it's Super Blu-ray, if it's Blu-ray HD, DVD, or whatever is
Batman
the next
Blu-ray.
Yeah, that we can. That we can put it onto that, and then we have it this nice, as big and pretty as and with as good a quality sound as we can. Because that was another thing about Flash, is it really? I think that that Marzipan song you guys just played was, I think that was from straight from Flash,
right?
Hear how messy and yeah, compressed it is. But it is one of those things where it's a bummer that, like, you know, like we were saying before, if there's no way to experience it as it is now on the website, because all browsers just reject the Flash player completely, that will be kind of a bummer because there isn't really a one-to-one to that, you know, with the interactive experience. So we're preparing, just exporting our cartoons as high quality as we can to just sort of for whatever the future is.
And then the other thing is games. There's a whole bunch of games that were all done in Flash 2, and that's a much bigger problem to solve. It's relatively easy to convert something to a different video format, but to basically have to reprogram all the games.
Because of that interactive quality.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
So we are doing that with some of the more popular games, starting to make it. I don't know if we're doing it in HTML5 or something that can play in HTML5.
Canvas?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Would you record the interactive experience? Would you, like, have a film of here's the Flash image and then click each one.
Well, that's
what
we do usually when we're converting stuff to video now. A lot of the interactive Easter eggs that would pop up, we sort of autoplay. So you're still sort of getting it, but you're not being interactive. You're getting the extra
Yeah, we have all these main pages on the website that are, you could select from, and it's like the menu pages, and Homestar would say tunes, games, email, and there's like 23 or 4 of those or something, and so we've talked about just making a video of where we just do a screen capture and we just go through and just play all of them, and you just see all of them and make this weird video of just like, did you want to see what it used to be like to select a page on HomestarRunner.com? Watch this video. I mean, you know, there's Let's Play videos and Twitch streamers of video games. It's like, yeah, why not? Like, hey, this is how you used to play this website.
Yeah.
So your kids can find out in some dusty digital archive.
Well, yeah.
Well, have you thought about emulations of the website experience, or do you know of any other Flash websites or Flash run animations that are looking at like an emulation to kind of preserve that experience? So you don't just have to look at a video of someone doing it. It kind of preserves, even though you can't use the Flash player anymore, something that could emulate that.
Yeah, I would love that. We there's a browser-based Apple IIe emulator that, like, I play the original Carmen Sandiego and Oregon Trail with my kids all the time, and it would be hilarious to have this, like, the 2002 Flash player emulator that loads in your browser, and then inside of that is this deprecated Flash player. I would feel honored to be in, like, have our stuff preserved in that kind of format. Like, you have to emulate it in order to, like, get to that old weird point. I never thought that, like, digital entertainment, like, it's sort of the equivalent of analog. Like, it's this, like having to, like, get a cassette player out to put a cassette in. It's like, oh, you got to get your Flash player out and play the old Flash files.
So what happens after 2020? Is there just going to be a point where you're just going to have to say, well, the Homestar Runner experience is on YouTube now, or whatever decision you make, and we just have to go from that? Or have you, like, reached a decision on that?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a version of the website that is that will be non-Flash by that point, that has all the video, all the cartoons certainly, and as much of the whatever games and other interactive elements that we can migrate to the new format.
Will you have to change your process, your artistic process at all when you don't have the interactive? I mean, have you thought about, and then we'll do it this way instead of that way?
The last couple years that we've been doing new cartoons, there are fewer Easter eggs and less interactivity because we sort of knew that. And
oh, so you've when been we deprecating make the,
when
the
we
interactive.
Use, when we make a YouTube version, we automatically put the Easter eggs in.
But I mean, you could just make the make that interactive experience be through some other, you know, would you have to embrace this other thing where it's like Strong Bad has a Twitter account, and so it's like maybe the interactive part is that Strong Bad will talk to you on Twitter about those things, you know, or like point out hidden things in the cartoon. It's cool because it is going to make us have to find this new kind of solution for some of that stuff, which will be fun to work within those constraints.
And I'm excited to see how it happens. And, you know, if we happen to know, we're all librarians here in this room that you're talking to on this side of the mic. So if you need to get in touch with a digital archivist, you know, we can hook you up.
Oh, yeah, we got one.
Right. We have been joined today by Mike Chapman and Matt Chapman, otherwise known as the Brothers Chaps, the creators of Homestar Runner. Mike, Matt, thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank
fun.
You. This is great.
Charlie, I know it's time to do our usual music set here, but I wonder if we can do this one a little bit differently.
Yeah, I see that the guests are still here.
Yeah, they're kind of hanging around.
They're still here.
Clutching piles of vinyl. Mike, Matt, you brought a few requests in. Can you tell us a little bit about?
Yeah, we had some stacks of 7 inches at our houses that we found some things lost in. So are we starting with the basketball thing?
Yes.
So this is a 7-inch by the Tall Boys, which was 4 Atlanta Hawks players, Tree Rollins, Cliff Levingston, John Konkak, and Kevin Willis. They made a rap song, an anti-drug rap song in about 1986, I'm guessing, called Hugs Not Drugs.
We're going to play that, and we're actually then going to start just sampling from the other 7 inches you've brought, which I understand many are cover songs that you would not expect.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of this, those things that it was fun. Now, I found all of these on YouTube. Like, you know, someone, and it's like some of them were literally someone filming their turntable, and then it's, you know, it's higher quality audio. But Whereas finding these at a record store used to be this fine, you know, it's like, yeah. I was the one guy that had this Lou Barlow collection of home recordings. Like, none of my friends had found it at record stores. And now it's just, you just send somebody a link and the whole world can listen to it.
At least yours is bright red.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, it was colored vinyl.
I would bet that the Hugs Not Drugs is not on YouTube.
That is, we actually started recording when there's something that we try and find. There's an old character that Chris Elliott did on Letterman that we can't find any evidence of on YouTube. And we like write that down because we're like, this is one of the few, like the day that this becomes available, it's like, okay, yeah, no, there's nothing
Everything's
secret
out there now.
Yeah.
The Revenge of the Analog.
Fred, do you want to classify this set?
I think we should file this set under sbemail.exe. Hit it. Okay, well, we started out at 45, so we thought we'd end that one at 45. That was Everyday Shoes by Verbena. Before that, we played a clip from The Great Lakes, a song called Conquistadors. And before that, we played the theme from Midnight Cowboy, which we think was written by John Barry. We're going to go with John Barry without Googling it. By the Cows. And before that, we played a selection of To Love Somebody by Mule. And then we played, before that, Run to You, the Bryan Adams classic, as recorded by Lou Barlow. And we started that with Hugs Not Drugs by the Tall Boys, featuring members of the Atlanta Hawks circa 1986
or 7, I'm guessing.
Okay.
So yeah. If anybody was really entranced by the sample that they heard, they can go looking for those 7 inches out luck. There in the world.
Right. Songs selected by our guests, Mike and Matt, played on vinyl, which is a format that will never die.
Oh. That was my AB button moment, Fred. Our show today is all about the death of Adobe Flash and the possibility of a lot of online art going down with it. Before we wrap up today, what other formats or tools or media do you think you'd hate to see suddenly go extinct? We're going to go around the room. Emmy.
Well, vinyl may not be dead, but after going through vinyl, tapes, CDs, and MP3s, I'm really tired of rebuilding my music collection every decade or so. So I think I'd be really sad now if my MP3s were out of vogue.
That's a pretty practical answer, yeah. Allison?
Well, we're already going down the road to extinction with this, but analog film. I'm glad I can still kind of get a hold of some of it.
I'm afraid those bubble lights, those bubble Christmas lights that like have the bubbles inside them, will go away because LEDs don't generate enough heat
to
make bubbles.
Right.
And whatever that toxic sludge is.
I think that I would really miss YouTube. That is my on-demand radio. I would hate to see that going. And if Homestar moves to YouTube, then that's another reason for me not to want it to go away.
Those are all great answers. I'm going to have to be really pretentious and say it's paper for me. I'd be really, really sad if we stopped using paper altogether.
It's apocalyptic.
Okay, well, that's our show. Apocalyptic, you know what? Let's roll those apocalyptic credits. Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Charlie Bennett. That's me, Wendy Hagenmeyer, Fred Rasko, and Emmy Decker.
Charlie was our engineer today.
Ah!
And the show was sponsored in part by The Collective, a library conference designed to create collaborations between next-generation academic librarians, archivists, and library staff.
You can find out more at thelibrarycollective.org, where you can see the schedule and register for next year's conference.
Legal counsel and cold ones from Bub's concession stand were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Aw, and special thanks to Mike and Matt for being on the show, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and probably lots of other places we don't know about.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, Fred,
yes.
Is it a Litsmus show?
It's a Litsmus miracle.
It's going to warm your heart, probably not mine.
Maybe even your black heart, Charlie. I don't know. It's time for our last song today, and I think it's a no-brainer what we have to close with. Start your Friday afternoon off by Burninating the Countryside along with Trogdor by Strong Bad right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everybody.